Hello and welcome to episode 36 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by Rut.co.uk and Altius Images. I'm your host, Todd Dudley, and I'm joined, as always, by the editor-in-chief of Rut.co.uk and my co-host, Steve Smith. Steve-o, how are you, mate? We are back.
What a start that was. We had kitchen alarms, sirens, babies crying. This is what you come to Not Another Rugby Podcast.
If we
World Rugby, Brian Habana. You've got Mike Tyndall on his boat.
If we were some kind of professional outfit, we'd have just redone that intro, but we're not going to do that. So
We've got to stand out from that crowd.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is how we do it.
One podcast has Kate, William and Anne on. We have people coughing, ambulances,
bit of COVID.
Kitchen noise.
Oh God, are they okay?
I hope they're okay.
I think they're okay.
The COVID podcast brought to you by rock.co.uk. But mate, we're back. It's been a while again.
Probably been demonetized now, because even though we're not monetized for mentioning the word COVID. Is that still a thing? I don't know.
Can we bleep it out? Do we need to do that?
No, I think okay.
Demonetized from all that money we're making with all these streams.
Yes.
Right, mate. Well, we've already been sidetracked a minute and 22 seconds in. However, the World Cup is upon us.
It's already on us.
Which is very, very
It was intense, wasn't it, for the first weekend? It was good.
Yeah, big old first weekend. Obviously started Friday night in Paris with the opening ceremony before the France New Zealand game.
Fantastic, phenomenal, now, artistic, beautiful.
I missed the opening ceremony.
How? Why?
I was making spaghetti bolognese. What's happened?
It was like a love story, and there was people going around on wires. It was incredible, mate. You missed. What a moment.
And didn't President Macron get booed?
Heavily booed.
Why? Do we know?
Don't know, I guess.
Politics.
French just don't like him, do they?
Yeah, okay. I always thought he was somewhat popular, but obviously not.
Big Bill got up again.
Big Bill's up there. Of course he is, no doubt.
Choirs.
Yeah, that's the other thing to mention straight off the bat. We'll get to some rugby chat eventually. But what are your thoughts on the national anthem? They are shocking, aren't they?
I think, like, some of them have been all right. Maybe I'm just being kind.
Have they? The ones without words, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I remember on one of the games, the commentator was like, these are, you know, children from poor backgrounds. I was like,
let's not get too stuck in.
People have been a bit... Yeah, people are getting a bit too stuck in.
Mate, I've heard they're canon it, though, for this weekend.
I've heard it's a choice, like, the countries can choose.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Sure, which probably means most will sack it.
Well, at least they've let them do it for like one weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it was lovely, wasn't it? It was lovely.
There we go.
In a way.
Do the right thing.
But that preceded what was a very good game of rugby. New Zealand absolutely flew out of the box. I was like, oh, yeah, we've all forgotten that they're quite good at rugby. Talia scored.
He looked good.
Like a minute in, something
like
that?
Yeah, a minute, 2 minutes in.
He was on fire. He beat more defenders than anyone ever has since John Olomou or something like that.
I think he beat 11 or something in the game.
Yeah, which is pretty nuts.
It didn't make my team of the week.
No, he probably wouldn't have made mine. No. I don't think if you lose, I'm not sure.
It's harder. I think we had one. I think we had the Fiji centre, and that was about it.
Naya.
Yeah. That's why I didn't try
that one. Naya Thalevi.
He might be the only player from a losing team who got in.
Okay. I don't think we actually need to spend too long on France New Zealand. It was an unbelievable game of rugby. Great way to start a tournament. But ultimately, not loads of jeopardy because both teams were still going to make out the group.
Yeah. I don't know, Italy.
Oh, come on. Italy were good, but they're not going to beat New Zealand.
Italy, New Zealand would be good. It's going to, you are looking forward to it more than you would have a couple of years ago.
Yes, that is very true. And there is more of an outside possibility, but I still think it's a very much an outside possibility.
I think nearly everyone had Capoozo in their fantasy team as well.
He was quite good as well. Do you think it was a case of France being as good as we thought they were and probably favourites for the competition, maybe with South Africa, or are New Zealand, off the back of that heavy defeat against South Africa, are they just not quite the team that we thought they might be?
I think the thing is with New Zealand, they're moving, probably going to move through the gears as the tournament goes on. Mm. As we learned as England fans a couple of years ago, you don't want to peak too early. And they were really poor at Twickenham against South Africa because I was there. But against France, I thought we saw the improvement was huge.
Yeah.
So if you can keep that sort of momentum up going into the knockout rounds, I'd fancy Ireland to beat them, to be fair.
Yeah.
But I fancy Ireland and South Africa to beat them, but you never know. You just never know.
I think what they're going to have in their favour is they're going to be prime because they've had this really tough opener. They're going to have a tough game against Italy. The other games, they can just kind of find their feet with. Also, as an aside, odds on that for them to put 100 on Namibia this weekend. Is it Namibia they've got?
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit odd, isn't it? Because it's like, even though I'd say this New Zealand team's probably, what would you say, is the poorest we've seen for at a World Cup since 2000, I don't even know.
Seven?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
But even then, I bet the pressure is not, a bit like England in the football, I bet the pressure is not relieved at all.
No. They're still getting hounded, but like, you see like clips of like their newspaper headlines and stuff from back home. It's a very similar story to English football, I think.
Yeah.
They just get, if they win, it's like, yeah, build them up. And if they lose, it's just like absolutely fly into them. But yeah, they've got Namibia Friday night, which they probably should
have. Or tackle into Sam Kane or something.
I think what is clear is that they're still dangerous with ball in hand. Like, whilst their fundamentals might not be quite as good and maybe they're trying to play in areas where they shouldn't be playing against a team like France, if they get like a sniff of broken play, that back line, well, and the back row, to be fair, can just turn it on and go. Which is why I fear a little bit for Namibia. I think
bit of a backlash as well, isn't it?
I worry that we've got, we'll come on to it, we've got New Zealand, Namibia, South Africa, Romania this weekend. I genuinely worry that we could see a world like a 100 to something this weekend with one of those two, which I don't think is very good. I really hope we don't see that. But
Wales, Portugal would be interesting.
Yeah, true. Wales aren't capable of putting 100 points on anyone. We'll get onto that as well. Bloody Welsh.
No, scored 30 against
Fiji. No, we're not talking about them yet. We're not going to Wales 7 minutes into the podcast. I'm not doing it.
I feel like you need to enjoy yourself a bit before you get on.
Yeah,
that
I really do. I need to ease my way into it. France, in case anyone wasn't aware, are still exceptionally good at rugby.
Bookie's favourite, I believe. Yeah, or South Africa, I don't know.
They've got to be up there. Just, again, like, woke up a little bit of a shock with the Talia try early on. But Jesus Christ, did they come back into the game? They're just unbelievable. And bearing in mind the injuries they've got.
Yeah, I was about to say, at the minute, it doesn't seem to matter who gets injured. They're just bringing a player just as good.
Exactly. Now. Like, no Cyril Bai, fine. Don't worry about it. No Untermak. Jalibert's unbelievable.
Was class.
Yeah, he's so good. He's probably a bit less reliable, I'd say, than Untermak. But he's more flairy. Like,
yeah.
And I think with Dupont being so good at marshalling it around, I actually think it's a really nice balance.
Yeah, so you just swap it around.
Yeah.
It's funny because Dupont was probably like average for him and was an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So you expect him to be like...
Moafar.
Did you see that charge down he did at one point? It was just like, where does he get that pace?
He is an absolute...
It's a bit like a dog woo for Italy. Like, you see the size of like their thighs and you think, how can he move that quick?
And two us over for Fiji as well.
Yeah.
I thought Moafar looked good in Donti's absence. Malvaca came on for Marchand after 12 minutes because Marchand got injured. He looked great. He's rapid in open play. Yeah. His lineouts were fine.
I think the one player they can't afford to lose at the minute is Pino on the wing.
Yeah, that's probably a good shout.
I think that's like one of their not as strong areas.
But do you reckon they just put Cameron Wockie on the wing instead? That's what I'd do.
Could do. Well, they have done before, haven't they?
Yeah. But mate, that back three, Villiers, Pena and Ramos, is like... It's so well balanced. Like, Villiers just does like nuts and bolts so well. Ramos's kicking game is outrageous. And Penno just does whatever he wants. France, very good. New Zealand, more to come. But I'm struggling to see them get through Ireland or South Africa at the moment. I know we're only a game in, but I can't see them beating Ireland or South Africa at the moment.
They've probably got a better chance against Ireland than South Africa. But you're right, either way, I don't see it. Just because I feel like Ireland, the pressure is going to... It's going to be like... The pressure on them is going to be absolutely massive.
Yeah. I think, but to be fair, they're carrying a couple of injuries as well. Like, Retallick only got 10 minutes, so he'll be back in at some point.
Yeah.
Kane's out. Jordy Barrett's out.
Yeah.
I think he's a big loss, actually, having to have Leonard Brown at 12. Leonard Brown's class.
No, Barrett were the best players, pretty much.
Yeah.
Scott.
Yeah. Jordy. I think if they can get Jordy back in, Yeah, I don't know.
Will Jordan had a poor game. Yeah. Everything he did seemed to just go to shit, didn't it?
Yeah.
Just one of those days. But everything he tried to do.
But that is, for Will Jordan, that is one of those days. He'll be back. He'll score 9 against Namibia this weekend and he'll be fine.
I do really like someone's going to beat Lomu's record by scoring about 8 tries past someone like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. And it's not even a good Namibia side. Like, back in the day of Jacques Berger, they were okay.
Like, the worrying thing for me at the weekend was how close Keith Earls was to the record, but he was terrible against Romania, so I think it's safe.
Yeah, but he's a great bloke, so it's fine.
He is.
Yeah.
But I think when he's still playing, he might be looking at the Islands team and think, there's a little bit of a weakness there. But then I guess they just didn't play Mac Hansen. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Super Mac will come back. So that was Friday night. Then Saturday, we had a big old day over at Rugger. So just to recap for anyone that wasn't paying attention, Italy 52, Namibia 8, Ireland 82, Romania 8, Australia 35, Georgia 15, which was probably the game of the day, unless you're an England fan. And then England 27, Argentina 10.
That Donaldson looked really good at fullback.
Yeah, he did.
Australia.
He did. So did
the fly-half didn't look that good, though.
Do you not think? I thought he was all right. I thought he was. I don't think he was amazing, but he didn't do anything that I was like, "Oh, you look a bit shaky."
I think Georgia charged down early on, but you're right. He was all right.
Yeah,
he's probably just not the sort of. You don't really want to be blooding him at this point, do you?
No.
When you look at the other teams around you,
let's start with Australia. Actually, they looked a lot better than I thought they were going to look, which is a shame. As did Wales and their who we might play in the quarterfinal. So. That made me slightly worried.
And Fiji, if they got through, also looked good.
Yeah, Fiji also looked good, and we just lost them as well. So,
apart from that, we're doing
well. Apart from that, England had a great weekend. But yeah, like you say, I thought the back line looked really nice for Australia. McDermott being injured and only having Nick White. I don't know if there's an update on McDermott. I don't know if he's back. Because they only brought 2 9s with them, I think, didn't they?
I think so. Nick White was hurt towards the end.
Yeah, he was sore as well. And bearing in mind, I think they played Tonga this weekend, don't they?
Yeah.
Or Samoa.
So
they're going to probably pick up a couple of injuries this weekend as well. But that back line, whoever you got at 9, and then Gordon at 10, I thought was fine. But outside that, Karevi and Patea in the centre, Korobetti and the other one. I should be able to do this. I know the last bit is Kanita Wase.
Oh, there we go. We've got it.
But I don't know how to say the first bit. Is it just Nawa? Nawa Kanita Wase. Now I can eat Owase. Let's go with that. And like you say, Donaldson at 15 looked really good as well.
The pack looked tidy as well.
They did. Yeah, they looked strong.
Well, you got to think that we're going up against a country gospelized for their pack.
Yeah, and they were like walking over them at the scrum.
You know what? It's nice to see Tongan 4 finally sort of really playing like at his full potential for Australia.
Yeah.
It felt like every time he was getting into a groove, he would get injured or something like that.
He is a freak show, mate. Like, he is an absolute...
I do worry about him going head-to-head with Dan Cole. Well, not head-to-head because they're being opposite sides, but you know what I mean. Being like, oh...
Mate, him going head-to-head with absolutely anyone in the world is going to be a struggle, to be honest. Like, Arnold and Skelton is a ridiculous second row, just massive, massive people.
This is what I mean. Do you know what? Like, everyone's written off the Aussies, haven't they? A bit too soon, I think.
Well, but it's a similar story to like England. Like they're gonna get to a quarter final, and then anything can happen. Like they're good enough to win that quarter final against whoever it is, and then you're in a semi final, and like literally anything can happen. As we saw in 2019 with England, they were playing fine, and then they just played like game from the gods to beat New Zealand. So I think you're right. I don't think people should write Australia off. Georgia are okay. They've had some good results in the last few years. Like, they're definitely the best of the rest in Europe. Didn't really fire too many shots other than... I mean, their 15 looked class. Nini Ashvili, he looked class.
Game against Wales might be more interesting, I think.
I think so. Especially with that result hanging over Wales as well. They're going to want to bounce back from that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think actually quite impressive stuff from Australia.
So Eddie's a god.
Eddie's back, mate.
Do you see Campese's comments on Eddie? David Campese's comment. He fucking acts like he's Sir Alex Ferguson, but he's one fuck off.
I mean, it's not. He's had some excellent results along the way, hasn't he?
won a couple of Six Nations.
Yeah, yeah.
Did we came fourth in a couple of Six Nations.
Did we win a Grand Slam?
Won one Grand Slam, the first one.
Yeah.
Because we went on that 80 odd
games
game.
In a row, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, let's...
The first, 8 months of Eddie in charge of England was fantastic. Oh, the Six Nations and that tour of Australia where we beat them 3-0.
Where are you at the moment? I think...
Well, with Eddie.
Well, with England, more like. Are you happy that Eddie's not in charge?
I think they needed to go eventually, but to spend all that money to get someone who's not going to do any better than him seems like a bit of a waste of... Especially in a time where the game's struggling, spending over £1 million to get rid of someone.
Yeah.
To not really affect that much change. We were probably looking at the Six Nations ticket sales and they were probably down. That'll be what made them do it. Because they wouldn't do it for rugby reasons.
But I'm,
can only be money reasons.
I'm incredibly uninspired by Steve Borthwick. I hate to just be that blunt about it.
I think we needed to bring someone
in. I'm currently
inspired
by George Ford.
I think the problem was Borthwick had is everyone wanted something different after Jones. Wanted someone to come in and rip up everything that was there and start again. And he hasn't done that. He's just continued the same. It's just the same.
We're just going to get better week on week.
That was a really good impression.
Every single week, we just like to get better as a group. We're going to work hard for each other. And everyone's going to... be around each other, and we're going to tackle hard, and we're going to love it. We're going to absolutely love it, and we're just looking forward to the next game. That's my Steve Borthwick impression.
We still lost the game 1-0 on tries against Argentina, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the metric, then yeah, we did.
I know that's not the metric, but sometimes I do find that metric interesting.
Mate, my mum was raging, mate.
Raging?
Yeah, absolutely raging. She was like, we haven't won this game. I was like, well, we have. She was like, no, we haven't. All we've done is kick the ball. We haven't played rugby, we just kick the ball. And I was like, well, you've got to play the rugby to get a position to kick the ball. But she wasn't having any of it.
And she knows.
Boy, does she know.
She's coming on next week. She can take over.
Yeah, special guest appearance. Big Debs coming on. Let's skim over Italy and Ireland and then delve into England in a bit more detail. Italy.
Garbisi's
absolute
class.
Pan Namibia 52-8. Namibia.
Interesting how
terrible.
Garbisi in the centres and Allen at 10.
Yeah, I like it though. I've got to say, getting Garbisi out the back, I like it a lot.
I think they would have been disappointed, but they managed to turn it on towards the end, at least. So
they're just in the wrong group, unfortunately.
Ticking away, I think. I know we've said this before, and it feels like the thing we say every year, but it feels like they're going somewhere at the minute, Italy. But there was definitely times where I've said that comment and they're actually just going nowhere.
Yeah.
But now it actually feels like they are.
Well, the fact
when you look at the youth team results.
Yeah. And the fact earlier we said that we're actually looking forward to the Italy-New Zealand game.
Yeah.
Because it actually might be a game of rugby.
Beat Australia. Well, pretty much Australia beat them.
You've still got to do a job.
It's the confidence thing, I think. It's belief. They lost belief for years.
100%. They've got over that mental block of winning a game of rugby. Which they can now do against anyone, really.
I always fancy a drink when I watch them because they've got, a limoncello.
Love a little limoncello. Good to see a dog we're getting on and scoring a try as well. I think that's a great move for him.
Did you not just think, watching that, I wish we had him on the bench? England.
Honestly, no. I actually didn't.
You didn't?
No. There's a lot of people I would like on the bench for England that aren't currently on the bench.
Yeah.
A dog is probably not one of them.
To be fair, you're still flying the Johnny Mayer flag from 2015.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm trying.
It's a half mast, I think, these days, is the flag.
Yeah. I was so, again, we'll come on to it. I was so negative about England before the game. I was so negative. And then.
I think everyone was, though, to be honest.
Well, spoiler alert, my dad wasn't, and I want to delve into that because he was kind of bang on.
Are you trying to say everyone knows more than us?
No, I think we're just more... We're
negative.
I think we put our balls on the line more. I think we're happy to make some more...
Outrageous comments.
Outrageous calls, yeah. Romania aren't very good, unfortunately, and Ireland are quite good.
I think I saw something that this could be their last World Cup, really, because it's faded.
Romania?
Yeah.
Or Ireland?
Romania, because only... I don't want to say they only got in because of due course, but because they were the next viable team to come in. Yeah. And so that, but they used to have a dictator who loved rugby and he got ousted, so the sport's been on the down ever since. Yeah.
Oh, God.
They had like a dictator who loved rugby.
Oh, God.
He got ousted, so the sport's kind of waned a bit
since
then.
What does the new one love? Like
polo or something? Probably.
Did we learn anything at all about Ireland? That's my question for you. Are they fucked without Johnny Sexton?
I think I don't think other lads all right.
Crowley was all right. They still got Ross Byrne.
I don't know about game management. Probably where you'd question the other ones because I've not seen them enough at international level doing that.
I think that
never get a chance to.
My thing is, I think they can be a really good side and win a lot of rugby matches without him. I just don't know if they can win the World Cup without him.
Yeah.
Like if there's a World Cup final and they've got Crowley or Byrne at 10, I'm betting on the other side. Unless it's England.
I don't know. I feel like every England fan's just pinned all their hopes on George Ford now.
Well, yeah, but he's the Messiah, mate, so that's fine. We can do that. Okay, let's do it. Good segue. No one cares about 82-8. 27-10, England-Argentina. George Ford, six penalties, three drop goals.
Sweet chariot.
I think I saw something like there's only been 8 drop goals. No, was it 20 drop goals in 108 tests since Johnny Wilkerson retired or something stupid like that? And then Ford has done 3 in one game.
Especially the second one was for like 50 metres.
Oh, God, it was good, wasn't it? The first one, I was just like,
they made it look so easy. I was like, why don't we just keep doing this?
Well, that, I think that's what he thought in his head. I think he did the first one. He was like, oh, wait, I'm actually really good at this. I'll do it again. And then the first two felt like they were a bit more off the cuff. And then the third one they actually set up. But genius. Absolute genius. From
it
like
just took the game away.
3-3 to 12-3 in like 9 minutes, whatever it was. From not really playing loads of rugby, not really having to work that hard.
We don't believe in that.
I was like, this is unbelievable.
And then it sort of died down again and became.
And then we just
It was a good game. I enjoyed that sort of game, sort of more physical battle.
Speaking of physicality, be remiss of us to not mention Tom Curry getting red carded after 2.5 minutes.
Nasty way to go.
So the ban's come out. He was banned for 6, reduced to 3, reduced to 2 if he does a course. So he's only going to have.
Imagine you just said, no, I'm not doing it. To be fair, it doesn't make that much of a difference because I don't know if he.
He'll miss Japan. Who's it, Japan?
Japan, well.
Chile.
Yeah, I think so. That might be him done now. I might not get back in, I don't think.
Really? Do you think Ludlam will come in and stay in?
Ludlam or Willis, I think they both deserve the shirt more than him anyway. He hasn't played in 6 months. Is it 6 months? It's not a while.
Three or four months? He hasn't played since the Premiership final.
Yeah, so 3 or 4 months. Throwing him straight in to start a game like that was a bit stupid anyway.
He was fucking good for 2.5 minutes, though.
Hey, what a 2 minutes.
Yeah, he was unbelievable. That's interesting. I kind of thought he'd maybe just come straight back in, but I take your point about Ludlam and Willis.
I think they could easily take the shirt. I thought Benno played well as well.
I thought he was excellent. I think if your fly half doesn't score 27 points, I think he's probably a man of the match.
Yeah.
His line speed, I don't understand how he does. He must, I'd love to see, I mean, I'm not that nausea, but I'd love to see some of his like fitness scores.
Who's your start in the back row?
How he plays
this
like 80 minute. This weekend, Laws. Oh, who we got? Japan. Laws. Probably Laws, Ludlam, Earl. Just Ludlam. And then Willis onto the bench.
I was thinking Earl. Probably the same.
Because Courtney was great. I think Itoje looked like he was finding something again.
But the problem is that I question this finding something. Was that based? Were they playing like that from the very start? Or were they sort of buoyed up by. You know, like when you get a decision that you don't think is fair against you, and you get like an extra 10-15%.
Well, and they.
So I do question, as good as it was, I wouldn't say it could be a turning point, but I want to see them play well again.
That's the thing. I think that's an important point. It could be the turning point, but it isn't necessarily the turning point.
Yeah.
It depends.
We still haven't scored any tries.
Exactly. It depends how England react to it. They could definitely use this as a turning point.
And we're going up against a Japan side, which isn't as good as it was 4 years
ago.
Nope,
correct. They have to win this weekend.
They've got such an open goal to.
Yeah.
Because the other games, no offence to Samoa and Chile, will probably take care of themselves.
They should do, and you'll get to rest some players and have a look at Marcus Smith and all that jazz.
Yeah.
The thing, there's a couple of questions that I think. One is the back row. The second is that the never-ending question of 10, 12, 13. So that's probably one of the best performances I've seen from an England fly half, like, since Johnny, really, if we're being totally honest. Actually, four was...
Cipriani's debut was pretty good.
Very true.
Never did anything after that, but...
Ford was outstanding 4 years ago against New Zealand in that semi-final, but kind of had Farrell there as well. But in just like a one-off 10, he was outrageous. So much control, like so much skill and so many points.
He's going to drop Marchand, isn't he?
What do you do? So
that's what he's going to do.
Let's assume Smith's not really in the mix.
He's the fullback, isn't he?
Yeah, because I don't think he is. Fullback cover. When Farrell's back, when's Farrell back? Quarter final? Or has he got one pool game?
No, I don't think he's out for that long. I think he might be back. Is he not back this weekend?
No.
Billy back. When is it Billy back? I think they're both back the same time, aren't they? They're not both get three games.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Cutting edge analysis as ever.
Yeah.
Well, you look at that up while I pose my question. For me, that kind of performance is like, okay, that worked.
Play that same team again.
Let's build. Let's like kind of build our campaign around that. Tuilagi, I thought that was his best game for a long time at 12, so I wouldn't want to move him out to 13.
That's what I think he'll do eventually, but I don't think you should ever.
March, I think,
he misses the first two games.
Okay, so he comes back in for Chile. We've got Chile third or fourth?
Third, I think.
Okay. But would he, which, I mean, he'll have to
No,
play.
Billy's back this weekend.
Billy's back this weekend. I still wouldn't have him.
I don't know, it depends, because Laws is a bit hurt. So I would consider Ludlam Bill.
That's pretty nice, to be fair.
With Willis on the bench.
Maybe lacks a bit in the line-out, but is that a huge issue against Japan? Probably not.
We've got Chesham and Marrow.
Yeah. Yeah, should be all right. So you think, as and when Faz is back, he's going to get to 12?
He's going to go straight back in.
Do you think? And Tuilagi
I don't think he should, but I'm just... This is like... Borthwick will put him straight back in at 12. Okay. And he'll put Manu at 13.
Yeah.
Because basically he's just Eddie Jones, because that's the thing Eddie Jones used to do.
So could we, if we did that... Because I thought Manu was unreal in defence, right?
So I thought Marchand played well as well.
Marchand doesn't really ever play badly. He was the best. He was our best player in the summer, I thought, as well, in the warm-up game.
He's just a good rugby player.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just very, very
like Elliot
good.
Daly before he got old.
Yeah.
Can't kick, though.
Could we? So if we had Ford, Farrell, Manu, could we defend, here's one for you, Farrell, Manu, Ford?
Well, Ford at 13?
Yeah.
I just think we need four at 10. He's the best game manager of them all.
Yeah, but only when we don't have the ball.
When we don't have the ball.
Yeah. Because I want Manu to defend at 12. That's the crux of my issue. I'm less bothered on the ball because you can change your shape however much you want. Yeah. But I kind of want Manu to defend at 12.
Let's just do a circle. I even have Ford defend at 15 and put Stewart at 13.
Or Ford defend on the wing and Daly at 13.
Yeah.
That's got not a bit, that's got a bit merit. In the world. That's my. That's
you
my
know you'll get run over the top of and will be made.
Yes, he probably will.
Like,
like Pateo will just like run over him and score a try, but that'll be fine. Okay, yeah.
I think neither of us would bring him back in, but we both know he's going to come back in.
What changes?
Can we start him at hooker or something?
Let's fast forward because we realistically, if something goes like cataclysmically wrong, we're going to be in a quarter final. What would your starting team be for the quarterfinal? Assuming everyone's fit and no one's banned.
Genge, George. I'd start Cole.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we have the problem of starting our best props and then towards the end of the game, other people bring stronger props on. You lose the game.
Especially if that quarterfinals or semifinals.
Chesham Itoje, Laws, Ludlam, Earl, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Mitchell, Ford, Malins, I'd play.
Yeah, like it.
Manu, Joe Marchant, Probably fucking Johnny May.
Johnny May, yep, baby.
Johnny May or Daly. Because I used to always whack. We always used to throw Daly in for the kicking, but, you know, he seems to have lost
it. He kicked like shit.
And then Stewart, I guess. Or Marcus Smith. I don't know.
Depends who we're playing. You got to have Freddie Stewart, mate.
Stewart.
Okay.
British Stewart.
So you're sticking with Mitchell as well?
Yeah.
I thought he looked good. I'm sure the game plan changed slightly after the red card. I was a bit confused why you'd play Mitchell.
It felt like the players took charge of the game rather than the coach.
George Ford.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's another thing to be worried about.
Like, well, that's the thing. I don't think he does that if Farrell's playing.
No, Farrell takes.
And I think Farrell sticks more to the coach's plan. I think Farrell's less like adaptable during a game than George Ford.
Yeah,
I would say.
More like Johnny Wilkinson, I guess, because I know Matt Dawson said Johnny was very good at doing what it said on the whiteboard.
Yeah, stick to the plan. Which I get. Like, what do they say? Like, the best plan B is doing plan A better.
Also, you don't diss Johnny Wilkinson.
No, definitely not.
He was looking sharp.
He looks great, doesn't he? He looks $1 million. He does. And I actually feel like he's... I feel like he came across a bit more normal at the weekend.
a little bit.
Slightly. Slightly.
I love his, like, Buddhist pundits.
Maybe it's because I was so thrown by, like, the weird...
You've got the energy, how you're doing, do what you do.
Yeah, but I don't mind a bit of that.
I don't mind a bit of it.
Maybe I was just really thrown by the green screen backdrop and that. So therefore...
and the podiums.
Yeah. It was very bizarre. It looked like Prime Minister's Question Time or something. It was really strange.
I was going to vote for Maggie Alfonso, which did a great job.
She is good. I said to my... Oh, I need to shout out my dad, actually. But I said to dad, because I did the Great North Run this weekend. In case,
smashed
anyone
it.
Anyone didn't know. And mum and dad came up to support me, which was nice. And I said to dad, 20% of the reason I'd like us to win the World Cup again is just so Clive doesn't have to be on TV anymore. It's just so he just falls into irrelevancy and doesn't have to be there.
I quite like his written stuff, but you're right. It's when he's on TV.
I cannot do it, mate. I cannot do it.
Okay, here's a good question. Clive, who is the best of the 2003 group as a pundit or commentator or anything? Ben Kay would be my answer, I think.
And that's probably the right answer. I actually quite like Will Greenwood.
I love Will Greenwood. He just doesn't do enough at the minute. I don't know why he's... Just doing stuff on TikTok.
I feel like he's got like a lifetime deal with Sky, so he's not allowed to do anything other than Sky.
I know, but Sky don't have anything.
No, I know. Ben Kay's probably the right answer, isn't it?
Only because he does so much than Will. You're right, Will's my favourite, but
Matt Dawson's good.
Yeah. Mainly on radio, isn't he?
Yeah, he's good.
Who's the other fly off?
Grayson?
He's
Grayson,
really good.
Grayson's actually very good as well. Yeah, I think it would be a shoot off between Grayson and Kay. That's a good chat.
But I guess it's because they do more analysing rather than just throwing out.
Yeah.
Like, I think I like Ben Kay doing any game as well.
The best of that kind of era who wasn't good enough to be in that World Cup squad is Flatman.
Yeah, but he moved into more of a presenter role.
Yeah,
hasn't he?
He has. Which I'm pleased with.
The Bayfield role.
Which I'm really pleased with, but I'm also like, I kind of miss your like analysis and like punditry. But he probably just gets paid loads more. So fair enough.
Who were the presenters we had?
Pugach. Mark Pugach.
Hugh was
Johnny,
involved.
Maggie. And Clive.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
If that could be Johnny,
Wales
Maggie,
Fiji felt really biased. They had three
Welshmen. Yeah, I know.
Come on, there's a Fijian somewhere.
Or at least like
Ben Ryan.
Like if you need to have a white man... that's fine.
Who was
that's
it? Was
fine
it
on TV.
Jamie Roberts, Sam Warburton, and then
Gareth
Thomas.
Again, like, I don't know how Gareth Thomas is, like... Oh, I mean, I shouldn't burn too many bridges just in case we ever want to interview these people, but he wouldn't be in my first choice of pundits, I don't think.
What about someone like... oh, my God, I forgot his name. It's gone out of my head. His brother's the hooker. For Fiji.
Oh, Matavesi.
Yes, well, Josh Matavesi.
Josh Matavesi.
Someone like that.
That's a good shout. Yeah, that would be a good shout.
I was just trying to think of like people who are local because he's from Cornwall.
Yeah, like a known English speaking person with Fijian links.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. Do we need to talk about Argentina?
Very, very poor.
They were shit, weren't they? Well, I'm not. Were they shit because we would put them under a lot of pressure defensively? I think our line speed was really good. Our defence was a lot better.
Of slowing the game down, I think, at times as well.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they were poor. It might show you the way England needed to go. We're better at stifling teams. When we try to go toe-to-toe with teams, we usually get knocked over, don't we?
Well, I think that is kind of what we alluded to earlier about that being down to 14 men almost helped us because
it definitely did, I think.
It solved a problem of how we need to play. It just
have you ever heard England rugby fans were such an atmosphere as well after that? Because it's like when you feel wronged.
It was amazing, mate.
Like every time I've been Newcastle season ticket holder for 20 years, the best atmospheres are usually when you feel like you've been wronged by a referee.
Yeah.
It just buoys everyone up. And that's not just the fans, it's the players and everyone.
I think Eddie Jones tried to do it all of the time. I think this England side especially really enjoy being the underdog. So I think they were the underdog going into the game and then they were made a bigger underdog by the red card. And I think they just thrive on that.
Yeah,
I think they love having like a little chip on the shoulder where they can go and prove people wrong. So it'd be interesting to see how they back that up. Now they're probably going to be favourites against Japan.
Who's not in the squad would you want in the squad right now? That's an interesting thought. Like,
because
you were saying
squad.
About the wingers and people like that.
So,
Radas.
So I do love Johnny May. He'll always hold a very special place in my heart. However, and I actually think he was good at the weekend. I thought he defended really well.
Give away a stupid penalty.
He always does, but that's... No. However, so I said earlier, I was chatting to my dad before the game, and I was so negative about everything. And I was just like, I was raging about Borthwick. I was like annoyed at the squad. Didn't see a way we were going to win the game. And one of the things that I said was Elliot Daly and Johnny May in the wing. I just thought it was nonsense with how much talent we've got.
Even though we won, I'm not completely sure you were completely wide of the mark. I thought there were two of the worst players in the game, to be honest.
I'd agree. I don't think I was wrong.
Oh, good.
I
thought you were going to say that you felt...
No, I thought Johnny May was fine, and I thought Daly was a bit crap. So, no, I don't think I was wrong about that. So, to answer your question,
Murley and Radders.
I'd love to see Murley. Like, Radwan, obviously, because he's a Falcon, that'd be great.
And you like seeing... We see him walk. You see him
always
walk
see him walking his dogs, yeah.
As someone who looks after dogs, likes dogs,
exactly,
they should be in the team.
Exactly. We get our coffee from the same truck.
There's probably some cat people in
we're
the
basically,
team.
Me and Radders are basically best mates. That's what I'm saying. But without that bias, I'd love to see Murley in the squad. I just think...
The thing that was so annoying for me about the summer was he never even give... He'd never even give a lot of these players a shot.
Murley just came in to train every week and then went home. It was just like, it's just tough.
I don't know what the crack is at the minute with Steve just keeps calling in a random teenage Newcastle Falcons back every week.
Mate, it's not bad for the Falcons though. It's good to see.
Let's just fly someone from the Falcons. Is there like a direct flight? Is that why they keep getting Falcons?
What, Newcastle to Latuke or wherever they are?
They had Ben Redshaw last week. Yeah. Ben Stevenson's joined this week.
What is that link? Why is that happening?
I don't know. I thought last week it'd be because he's trained with the Argentinian backs. So they'll be making him mimic being Carreras or something. That was my thought last week. And then they did it again this week and I was like, I've got no fucking idea what they're doing.
Carreras, incidentally, was...
Which one?
Both. Santi.
No, both.
On the wing was...
No, that's
Mateo. Mateo.
Yeah.
Mateo on the wing was...
He probably leaves. That lives near you as well. They'll be coming to your door.
I feel like he might be posher.
You think so?
Yeah, maybe. Ah. I reckon he's out in the sticks a little bit more. I reckon. I haven't seen it.
Playboy mansion for the Argentinian internationals.
I've seen all three of them. I saw all three of them in town like the week they all joined. And they were like, I think they were trying to get into the points in town. And like, they were like, they saw a queue, ignored the queue, went straight to the front. And the bouncer was like, no. And they just walked off and I think they went and got food.
I think they might forget that, you know, the Falcons aren't.
Yeah, exactly.
They're often in the Shark Bar, I think, as well.
They seem like lovely blokes.
Rugby players often are.
Yeah. But also sometimes less so. But I think
lads.
The one, if I could choose one player, no, I mean, I want two actually. two players that aren't in the squad that I would have in the starting lineup would be...
Can I guess?
Yes.
Mercer.
Yes.
And...
Well, we just mentioned him.
Merle. Yeah.
I'd get the Mers in. I'd get Mercer and Merle in.
How can you not even have given Mercer a shot, though? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
He's the best player in France, and Dupont plays in that league.
And yeah.
Like, solve that riddle for me. How does he not even get in on the plane?
And they just...
He wouldn't even need to get on a plane. He's already there. He's already there, Steve.
He's in the Cotswolds now.
Well, yes. so I think they're oversized. But then the back
row... But like Mitchell wasn't in the squad either.
Yeah. Yeah.
God, imagine we were... Because to be honest, I don't rate Van Forfleet. I like Ben Youngs, but getting on. Danny Kerr, he's good with Smith, but I never thought Smith was going to play, so... You know what I mean with Kerr?
I think Mitchell starting Kerr off the bench is great for me.
Yeah, because Smith's going to come off the bench as well anyway.
Yeah. Van Portfleet, I think, was a good replacement for Ben Youngs because he does everything that Ben Youngs
could do. It said to something when he was starting for England and Leicester got to the final of the Premiership and they didn't even have him on the bench.
Yeah.
That said a lot for me, you know. Yeah. Jesus. Because I think they started with Youngs and had Wigglesworth on the bench.
I mean, I hope to see going forward, like, I think a three of Mitchell, Quirk and Van Portfleet, I think is a good three.
If Quirk could get fit, he's the one, isn't he?
He's Dupont.
He could be our Dupont.
He could be our Dupont. He's so good.
He'll probably not win another cup now.
And we'll rage about it every single week.
Yeah.
Now, do you think... This is papering over cracks.
Papering over cracks, for sure.
Yeah? Papering over cracks or papering over chasms?
Some pretty deep chasms, I think.
What do you think the biggest chasm is that we can't play rugby?
Can't attack.
Yeah.
We've got no attacking sort of formation. The kicking a lot works when you're like up against it the way we were, but like if we start doing that at 0-0 against Japan, you're going to see like the fans who've just managed to get onside be like, what the fuck they're doing, you know? I think we kicked a little bit. We kicked quite early. Is that not how bloody Tom Curry got sent off? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's kick chase.
Yeah. So yeah.
We also had...
That was 2 minutes in and we were already kicking it.
Ben Earl trying to slide a grubber through when he had a 2-on-1 on the wing as well.
Yeah, but Ben's going to do that. Sexton tried that.
Which I agree with.
Didn't he?
And I actually don't hate it. The only thing I think it's indicative of is that their first instinct is to kick rather than run.
Yeah.
If Ben Earl's like
just hold on
to
the ball.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Or like a good old fashioned switch, mate. Where did that ever go? You know.
The most basic back play that you learn when you're six.
Mate, the DSP, the dummy switch pop. It's nothing better. Have you seen Elliot Daly's sort of comments about them scoring tries? He's basically said, I think we're actually. What did he say? Where's the quote? I think we're actually creating lots of opportunities. Especially in that first half, we've gone over a few that we probably didn't quite nail. But the thing is, we're all seeing the picture.
I didn't see us get close.
If we keep getting opportunities, we're definitely going to score some tries. Sounds incredibly confident.
Maybe it's a confidence thing. So hopefully, in the games against sort of Chile and Samoa, they can work it out.
But I just the thing I don't see is doing like what's an example? So like obviously Fiji are.
Well, that's why we picked Daly and May, isn't it? It's for the kick chase.
Kick chase. Yeah, kick chase. But, like, if you think about...
Because in the Premiership, you don't see as much kick
chase. The Scotland
game,
which we haven't even mentioned yet, Scotland-South Africa, which we will come on to, the chance that Darcy Graham kind of butchered a little bit.
He did well with the initial dummy mine.
It was lovely. But, like, so they went big over the line out. It was, like, off the line out. They went big over the line out the back, span it wide, little pump and go from Graham, and then he probably should have given it, but whatever. There's no way we're ever going to play any kind of rugby like that this World Cup.
No.
But we're probably going to get out of the group and Scotland won't. So does it matter? Or do you think for the World Cup, it's like, just win the game?
Doesn't matter. It's all about winning at the World Cup, I guess.
But is it even about that, even if you're not going to win the World Cup, which you're probably not?
I guess it's one of them. I think the way Borthwick's got pressure on him, he needs some performances. Like, the Argentina one was great because it allowed to take the pressure off but without actually addressing any of those problems. But they're going to resurface quickly.
I think our defence was infinitely better.
But But that was due to pure enthusiasm and that. And it's like, yeah, but that's can they find that level every game?
That's the Sean Edwards playbook. Just
I know, but
get off the fucking line.
I just don't think they'll find that level
every week
again this World Cup. I think they had like a burst of adrenaline.
But they could have, really.
And we had something to hold on to. Most games we find ourselves going behind.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. That kind of only
works. Our
defence
was all right when our backs were against the wall, but we weren't having to go out and try to do anything.
If you're chasing a game, it's a lot more difficult, isn't it?
That's I feel like if we chase a game, we'll just capitulate.
Yeah. Well, we've got Japan this weekend, which it's bizarre what a week can do, because I was really worried about that game, and now I'm like, actually, we'll be fine. Do you think we'll be fine?
I think we'll be fine.
You think we'll be fine? Okay, good.
I don't think they did too much. I thought Chile played quite well against them, to be honest.
Let's segue in, mate. Very good from you. Well done. Moving on to Sunday. We had Japan 42, Chile 12. Probably doesn't paint the whole picture.
It's not a fair picture, I don't think.
No, I think, like you say, Chile were actually good. It was 21-7 at half time, but again, like...
I'll tell you what.
Chile were in the game.
Talking about this game allows us to go back, because we never really talk about it, but there was another head-on-head collision in this game with their captain. He got yellow carded, wasn't upgraded. We never actually discussed whether we thought the Tom Curry decision was correct or not.
We didn't. I think it was...
I think we all just want consistency,
correct.
I guess.
So I think by the rules, it's a red card.
I agree. I'm not circling. I think it was a red card.
Yeah, I think it was
I didn't see much mitigation, to be honest.
Nope, neither did I. But then I think... Like, the Dressy Creole one that wasn't even looked at, I think should be a red card. I think Will Rowland hit someone. Can't remember who. In exactly the same way. No bend at the hips. Face on face. I think that's a red card. The one in the Japan game, I think this is a red card. You can't have one of them being a red and the other's not, basically.
It was the funniest thing was one was red, one was yellow, one was nothing.
Nothing, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I keep meaning to... shout my dad out. So, as I said, sorry, Dad.
We've managed to rewind.
So, I was really negative about England before. And
were you?
I was, in case I had mentioned it. And I wouldn't say I'm like eternally positive now, but I'm more positive. But my dad said, I don't see any way of us winning the game, which is obviously a very negative thing to say.
You didn't realise we'd get a red card.
Yeah. If only I predicted that. And Dad said, oh, no, we will. And I said, really? And he said, yeah, we will. We won't lose this game with George Ford at 10. And I was like...
Jesus, what a shout.
And I was like, okay, fair enough. And then 24 hours and 27 points later, the man was absolutely bang on. I was like, yeah, I mean, he's good, but like, one man can't win a game.
He did.
I was like, we still need the platform and la la. And he was like, yeah, I know, but I just think he'll control the game and do what he needs to do.
And that, literally.
Mate, inspired.
Smashed it.
Absolutely inspired.
Really. Maybe we do need to swap
from him. From Big P Dud. So well done, Dad. Good shout from you. Right, I can move on now.
back to Japan.
Back
and Chile.
To Japan.
Japan looked okay.
And Chile looked okay.
Chile.
They were fun to watch. They were fun to watch.
Do you know, here's an interesting point, right? Do you know when they're being really funny about the times and trying to speed everyone up, right? In these really physical games where it's professionals basically against semi-professionals and amateurs, just give them a fucking break.
Yeah.
Come on, get in. Give them a fucking break. Yeah. They're not professionals, mate.
No one watching.
Do you know what I mean a little bit?
100%.
Like, I felt mean.
No one watching cares if Chile take an extra 7 seconds to get there.
Like come on.
Just
they're getting beat. They're knackered because they're not professionals.
You're fucking
hounding them about getting in for the line-out.
They're tired because they've been doing the bins all day yesterday. Now they're trying to beat Japan in the World Cup.
That's just a weird thing that just had a gripe about while watching. I was like, fucking give them a break.
Chile is sort of what... They kind of reminded me of what Japan were.
Who was it? Nick Berry was ref, I think.
Yeah, he's a good ref.
He's a good ref.
Referee.
Please give him a break.
And it will only be directors from above and all that, but I know exactly what you mean.
I think this is the thing, like, going back to what my dad's been saying, like, sometimes, you know, you just got to ref with a bit of common sense.
Yeah, exactly. But Chile were great to watch. I don't think they'll trouble anyone in the group, to be totally honest. I'm not even sure... I think they'll get battered by Samoa this weekend.
I hope they don't. But
so do I, but I think they will.
I mean, they've also got their advanced. Samoa coming at this fresh
and fucking ready to go. They'll get a red card, Samoa, without a shadow of a doubt. But they could get two or three, and I still think they'll probably beat you.
Yeah. It'll be a high tackle, won't it?
Yeah. Oh, mate, someone is going to...
Ryan Lima.
Plough into some Chilean, poor Chilean binman's head. Which we shouldn't laugh about. But, yeah, if Samoa... In fact, I actually might make that bet. Although the odds are probably evens anyway, so it's probably not even worth it. Again, it's one of those games that's like, we didn't learn loads. We thought Japan would probably win quite comfortably, and they did. Let's save the game of the weekend till last. The other game on Sunday, South Africa 18, Scotland 3. I've watched it. I didn't watch it at the time. It took me 4 hours to get home from the Great North Run because of flash floods, which was
my
great
garage
fun.
Went.
Your garage went, didn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Oh, managed to insulate the door so it didn't get into the house just about.
Oh, shit. That is a shit.
Had me pond pump on Monday getting the water out.
No. How is it now? Much lasting damage, is it right?
Nah, not much lasting damage. Just, you know what? It finally made me clear the garage out, so.
Every cloud. Every wet cloud. I've watched it since. It was a bit of a nothing game.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? I felt a bit...
Scotland flashes, but they just didn't land any punches. It was kind of like watching Joshua against Usyk.
You know, trying, but without
like trying,
success.
But maybe had like one round where you go, come on!
Trying, looking unbelievable while doing it, but actually not having any kind of results.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's actually a very good analogy.
I think the one thing is Scotland were doing so well, and then... I think literally, as we've said about South Africa for years, the bomb squad came on and the tide just flipped and the game got away from them. And then they just sort of give up, I think, to be honest.
I mean, we speak about it all the time in South Africa. And I want to come on to their like actual like phase pair and their backs in a bit. But I just don't know what you do against that pack. Their starting pack is Kitsoff, Marks, Malherbe, Etzebeth and Mostert, and then Khaleesi, Tutoi, and Visa. And then they have Williams, Nche, and Mbanambi come on. Nche, Mbanambi, and Niakane come on. Snyman. So Etzebeth gets injured. And then they bring Snyman on, and you're like, fuck.
Did you hear, like, that's literally what Jim Hamilton said on commentary? It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, now, yeah, literally what he said on ITV.
Like, what are you supposed to do?
Where did they grow these props from?
Vermeulen comes, like, Visa bangs it out for 60 minutes, then Vermeulen comes on. It's almost not fair. Literally almost not fair. So whilst it's frustrating for Scotland to not really fire the shot, I think in hindsight, were they ever going to win this game?
I thought Scott Hastings made a really good point on commentary and then really enjoyed that his sort of prediction came true. He went, at the start of the game, he said, Scotland are going to get two chances probably to score in this game and they'll have to take them. And that's literally what happened.
And they didn't.
Because if you think, at one point in the game, if they had scored that Graham try and maybe scored another try, there would have been about 10, 15... They would have had something to try and hold on to when the bomb squad came on.
Yeah. So that bit of play, that like setup to go long on that for Graham's break, to go long to Tuipulotu, then out the back, and then get to the edge. Oh, it was delightful.
But Van der Merwe came out with the game pretty frustrated. He didn't really throw a punch, did he?
No, he didn't. Didn't really get the ball. Really,
I remember. Feels like every time he plays against South Africa, it's the same thing.
I can picture one moment where he was like free on the wing and didn't get given the ball, when he like could have been given it and just like had a pop at running.
Does he need to come and try and find the ball a bit more?
Probably. Yeah, that's probably a good point. Like coming off,
he could come into the
off Finn's shoulder and a bit more would be good. But I think the biggest takeaway from this game and also the summer. The warm-up games, is South Africa just got better and better and better.
I don't think South Africa looked like an incredible side when they won the World Cup in 2019.
They're better.
They're far better.
They're
now.
So much better now than they were in 2019. They're like, their patterns of play out the back, and their like actual phase play.
They've still got the. They used to be just a physical team with some flair in the back, but now they've got an actual fully fledged.
Well, they're not relying on like just chucking the ball to Colby and hoping for the best.
Where did they get the Colby twin from? That's what I'm wondering.
He's much slighter.
Yeah.
He's not benching the same as Chess and Colby, that's for sure.
The thing is, though, I think they wear the same scrum cap, and the commentator has got it wrong so many times.
It's so frustrating. I mean, I guess it's probably easier to pick it on TV than
you know, wear a different colour, please.
mate, so also they've got Nolan Cunningham as well. He was probably their best back in 2019, and they haven't got him. Jesse Creel's just doing a job with the best rig in world rugby. But it's Manny Lubbock, isn't it? Manny Lubbock is proper. He can't kick for toffee. Although I actually think that's overstated. He missed a couple, but he was fine.
Faf kick took a couple of them,
yeah,
didn't he?
And Colby can like Khaleesi came to defend Lubbock after and said, like, we've got other people that can do it, but he's a general. Everyone's talking about missing Andre Pollard. Mate, Lubbock's the one, mate. He did a no look crossfield kick. Which on social media in slow mo looks unbelievable. I think he did it because he worried that he shouldn't be kicking the ball. But that's probably harsh. That's probably just because that's what I'd do.
Yeah.
But it was on like a no look on the money. Arenzi didn't have to break stride.
I feel like every crossfield kick they almost completely missed this weekend, and then he just nailed that one as well.
But you know, Barrett's to Talia.
Yeah.
Did you see how ugly it was?
Yeah.
It was such a terrible kick, but it still like bounced.
He managed
to
gather it.
But yeah, that one was absolutely delightful, and he looks properly good.
Every time someone scores one of them, I'm like, oh, I need to see a replay. Was he offside? and they never are, usually, to be fair.
Do you think... So let's assume that South Africa through the group, really, like it is. Do you think Scotland... In hindsight, I think Scotland have more chance of beating Ireland than they did of South Africa.
Yeah, I think so.
Do they have a chance? Obviously, there's a chance because it's a game of rugby.
What could be interesting is I think Ireland could beat South Africa, and then all of a sudden, and if Scotland beat Ireland, it's all wide open.
Yeah.
Because I think they were saying if Scotland really need to go and absolutely pulverise the other two teams, get a good points difference, because you never know how this group might end up.
Yeah, which I guarantee they'll do. Like, Finn will just be like putting people in space for fun just to score as many
Every
chances
time
possible.
Finn comes under a bit of fire, he usually comes back.
Is he even under fire? I thought he was good. They just didn't get the ball.
I thought he was good in the first half. He went missing a bit in the second half.
But didn't Scotland go missing in the second half?
Well, Scotland went missing. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like, I don't
think he's meant to be the inspiration in the team. But I know what you mean.
The issue you've got against South Africa is...
I thought Dodge Shachi was a bit poor.
Yeah.
But got to give him some criticism because I keep saying he's class every time he plays. He's
alright. I just feel sorry for anyone that plays against South Africa.
Yeah. Well, because...
Like, what are you supposed to do?
Even if it's like if you handle the first lot, they'll bring a second lot on.
Exactly, that's what I mean. Like
I said, the Scotland front row, I think was on top. And then all of a sudden they weren't on top.
Mate, they won a couple of scrum penalties. But again, if you look at it... So kits off Marks Malherbe against Schumann, Turner, Ferguson... South Africa win that on paper anyway, but on the day, Scotland got the upper hand for a couple of scrums.
It might be slightly close, but then when you look at, I guess what you're about to say, look at the other three against the other three.
Unche, Umbanambi and Niakane.
This was my thing about not starting Sinclair.
Against Batty.
Sinclair on the bench.
Batty, Cherry and WP now.
Sometimes there's more crucial scrums come in the final
100%,
20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, 100%.
So if we had Marla and Sinclair on the bench as our scrumming...
Yeah.
Last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that at all. Not Will Stewart, though. Sorry, Will.
It's sad for Will Stewart. I thought he was starting to find form and then did his elbow fall off. Something. Was it last year? Shoulder, elbow?
Yeah, I think it was an elbow. I think you're right. He's fine. Is there a less inspiring pair of props in the World Cup than Dan Cole and Will Stewart?
Probably, but I probably don't know who they
are. Yeah, but like, do you know what I mean? For a side that's like trying to do something.
No, but the problem we have is there's not much choice, is there, beyond that?
No.
We've got a lot of loose heads.
Yeah, there's not, to be fair, you're right.
I don't know what
especially
the crack with
is with
Val Rapava Ruskin.
I told you, Borthwick doesn't like him, mate. They had a bust up. I told you that.
Bust up with everyone, didn't he?
He was lazy, apparently. Even though he plays 80 minutes every week for Gloucester, but... right, mate, let's move on. Game of the weekend, final one. Wales 32, Fiji 26. How long are we in? We're an hour in already. We're going deep today, mate.
Yeah.
What a game of rugby.
Fantastic.
Fucking hell.
Played in sweltering conditions.
I must say, I think, mate.
Gat's fitness camp in the middle of the desert or whatever, I think that did help them a bit.
Did it though?
I think so.
Fiji battered them in the last quarter.
Battered them, but didn't fall down, did they?
Well, they did. It was just semi just dropped the ball.
The worst thing is, though, mate, no doubt if semi scores, they'd miss the kick and lose by 1 point anyway.
Which is probably more.
Which would be even worse than what actually happened.
I completely agree.
Well, he gets the kick, but from watching the kicking, I don't think he's going to get the kick.
Honestly, I'm gutted for Fiji, but two losing bonus points is not the worst result at all. They've still got to go and beat Australia, which I think they can do. But I'm just gutted. I nearly cried. So I should caveat.
It was the game of the weekend, I think.
I don't. Sorry to all our millions and millions of Welsh listeners. I don't like Wales as a rugby team. Got nothing, no issue with the country. It's just the rugby team. I don't like the Welsh rugby team. And I absolutely adore Fiji. So this is like my two like polar opinions of rugby coming head to head. So I was devastated when Semi dropped that ball. And I was so angry with Matt Carley.
I think the whole world was the whole game, mate.
How? Okay, so this is going to be like a rant a bit all over the place.
I think he just lost. I think it was just too hot, mate.
He's bottled it. He's absolutely
because he didn't make that many wrong decisions. He just didn't, you know.
He's bottled it.
Yeah,
he's bottled it. There's no other way of saying it that he's bottled it.
I like him.
You can like him as much as you want, mate. He's bottled it.
Yeah.
You can't give a warning three times that the next one's going to be a yellow and then not give a yellow. And then the first penalty down the other end, which, by the way, is 100% a yellow card because he's dragged them all down that's going to go and score a try. So it is a yellow card. I've got no issue with it with the Fiji one being yellow. But you can't... You've just got to be consistent. Like, you cannot give warning after warning down the other end for just consistently slowing down play, being over the ball. Like, Bigger had one. I'm like, how is that not a yellow card? He's just flown...
Oh, when you come in the side.
Just flown in at the side when they've got quick ball. And
that was
like
literally the
man
one...
Over.
That was literally the one that was about 60 seconds before
literally,
the Fiji got yellow card.
Mate, he did that, and then 30 seconds later, they turned the ball over. He got the 50-22. They got the line out, and then they got the yellow card. And Bigger shouldn't have been on the pitch to even kick that 50-22. It was an absolute shambles, mate. Absolute shambles.
It's a bit like I said. I think he did bottle it, like you said. Like you say, it wasn't the decisions he was getting wrong. He was giving penalties at the right time. Yep. He just wasn't following through.
Just no upgrade.
I just don't know if in the heat he was just losing track of what the fuck was going on, to be honest, if I'm being kind.
And that's fine, but then he needs some help from the rest of his team. But
that's like, what I mean. Like, surely, like, I don't know, assistant can say you've already given them a warning.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah.
Wasn't it 19 penalties to 7 and one yellow card apiece or something?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. Which, like, if you can see 19 penalties, and also
majority
I
in the 22.
I was going to say I don't know the stats, but I'd say 10 of those are like in their own 22. However, right, I'll take a breath.
It's kind of a strange dynamic where we're not questioning his decisions; it's the lack of punishment.
Yeah,
his decisions were all pretty good.
Yeah,
and I think Wales fucking masters a shithousery towards the end, and he was trying to deal with that, but he didn't deal with it ruthlessly enough.
What I would say is,
like, they're meant to be no taking no shit, and he took a bit of shit from Wales towards the end as well.
Well, so I can't remember who made that. I think it was Dylan Hartley on Twitter made the point that Fiji were basically being victims of being
humble
and like respectful.
It's kind of one where the referee, like I said, probably didn't need reminding because he was just probably
like
really hot.
If Bigger is...
I think Bigger lost five pounds during the game from heat.
If Bigger's Fijian there, he's like getting stuck into the referee, reminding them, being like, that's another one. You give them a warning. But like Hartley pointed out, Fiji are very humble, very respectful, and probably weren't doing that, which is not a bad thing. Like, it shouldn't be up to them to do it. The one I did think was wrong was the the disallowed try. So if he's dropped it, he's dropped it. I don't have a problem with
that.
Wasn't
a double movement though.
I don't think it's a double movement. Oh wait, no, there was two.
Oh, we're talking about two different ones.
Yeah, so there was the double movement one, which I don't think is double movement.
No, I didn't.
And then there's the other one where they've said he's dropped it. So then they've reviewed the tackle. It's a no arms tackle on the try line.
So it's a penalty try.
Then it's a try yellow card. Like it, I don't get it. I just don't get it. It was a I think it was Elias, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah, there was two.
He's literally like rolled his shoulder in. I'm demoing this for Steve for everyone listening. He's rolled his shoulder in and just like dived his head into the player as he's trying to score a try. And that's made him drop the ball, and apparently that's just play on. And then...
Yeah, because I was thinking, oh, it's going to be a penalty try, and then it was just a dropout, wasn't it?
And then, yeah, but then that's the wrong decision, because the decision he gave was a knock-on before the try line, so that should be a scrum five to Wales, and he's given a fucking drop-line goal at kick-out. I can't even speak.
I can't speak.
I can't speak. Get him walking. So he's given... So A, he's...
My defensive Matt Carley's falling down here.
He's disallowed a try for a drop, which I don't think was a drop. If you think that's a drop, fine. You've then reviewed the tackle, which is good refereeing to have a look at the tackle. You've decided that the no-arms headbutt into the shin of the player is fine to play on. Fine, whatever. Then you've thought, okay, there's nothing there. Let's go back for the knock-on. But let's not give a 5-metre scrum where Fiji can apply some pressure. Let's just give Wales a dropout. What are you doing?
Is there something to be said about why is there so many English refs at this tournament?
Because no one else generally hasn't. Very good.
Yeah.
The quality of the referee in the Premiership is excellent.
Matt Carley's a good referee. In the Football World Cup, you can't have a ref from basically your continent, I don't think.
Well, that's the other thing.
Did you see...
Matt Carley's family are based in Wales or are based in Cardiff or something, aren't they?
No, that's actually...
Oh, no, that's this weekend. That's this Andrew coming Brace. Weekend. Andrew Brace.
I like Brace.
So do I. I like Matt Carley, but if...
I think he was refereeing in horrendously hard conditions, and I don't think he was given any help.
I agree. I think that was the
TMOs are usually...
Mate, how...
This guy was just saying, fuck all. He just...
And also...
You have a look, mate. I'll just sit here and have a chill.
That one I've just spoken about that ended in the scrum rather than the...
He sat in an aircon, he's chilled.
Yeah, so that he for me, there was also an injury. So they've had like 3 or 4 minutes, and at no point has the TMO gone, oh, by the way, it was a knock on, so it should be a 5-meter scrum. It's like, why haven't we come in and said that?
When the referees are refereeing in these difficult conditions, they probably do need more help. And I think that TMO specifically offered no help.
Nothing.
I always wonder what the point of assistant referees are, because they don't seem to get... It's like they're respecting their referee too much.
Yeah,
like,
but
they
need like, to, like, we're a team. Like, let's just help each other out. But
like he's the what lead I would guitarist.
Say is, I obviously got a bit stuck in there. I'd do the same if a player had a shocker. I just think he's had a shocker. He's not a bad referee. Like you say, I don't think he got the help he should have got, but I just think he's had a bit of a shocker.
Yeah,
which is shit for Fiji. Wales just seem to just be able to do this. They just kind of grub their way through. I mean, they score 4 tries, fine, but they just grub their way through games.
They've got a decent back.
They look good. They looked pretty good against them. But Fiji are just their own worst enemy as well. They just make so many mistakes.
Yeah,
just so many mistakes. And obviously that one pivotal one at the end with Semi, which was a real shame. But how good was their second try, mate?
Even the pass to Semi was poor, mind. Yeah, so, but it's like, but, to give him a break.
But he's
meant to be the best player.
He's top five rugby players in the world. Like you've got to catch the ball. But how good was their second try?
So good.
Absolutely.
Just want to. I'm looking for. You're kind of sad. You just want to see more of them in the tournament. So
that's the thing.
The Australia game is next, isn't it? So
which could be
over
their last real game of any note. Which would be such a shame if it is, because they've actually had a proper like training camp for once.
Yeah.
Like they've spent loads of time together. Obviously, like the Drua have played loads together in Super Rugby.
The question I have is why have they not picked the fly off? Because I know they went with a new lad and he got injured. So why is it Vola Vola not in the
Vola
squad?
Vola Vola. I think they just decided he wasn't the one. Yeah. I thought Teller was all right.
I know. You just need someone to kick your goals, though. They wouldn't have won.
I actually think Nine's their bigger issue. I think
who used to be the Nine? He used to be good. The one that was really good in Scotland, then went to Exeter and Bath and never played. Matawalu?
Yes.
He was so good. And then he went to Bath, never played. And then Exeter signed him and he never played. And then he went back to Bath, never played.
He was fast as well.
Glasgow or Edinburgh? One of the two.
But they've got... I just don't think they've got any control from nine.
Yeah.
Like Lamani and...
You put someone like Aaron Smith in there.
Yeah. You don't need them to be that good. Like Thomas Williams would be unbelievable for Fiji. The quality of their passing is just not good enough. Their kicking is not good enough. That applies extra pressure to the 10. And the 10 at the moment is good, but he's not as good as they'd want him to be. So they're really close. I still think they can beat Australia. I'd go all guns blazing. I'd start Bhatia. I'd start Tuasova. I'd just try and blow them out of the park for the first 45 minutes. I think what's really pleasing to see is that they came back into the game with 15, 20 minutes to go, which is usually when the Pacific Island teams would probably fall off. They don't necessarily have
the fitness. They looked like they played for 10 more minutes to win.
Yeah, 100%. So I think that's promising that they can end the game well. But it was just disappointing. But it was an unbelievable game of rugby. Unbelievable game of rugby. I think we'll if we see a better game of rugby this weekend, we'll have been treated to an excellent game. Just a shame, eh? Just a shame. I feel like they're everyone's second team, aren't they, Fiji?
I think so, just about.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a hard weekend at the top, really, in terms of, like, headlines, stories, entertainment. It was really good.
It was a great game. Yeah, a great weekend. I don't think... This weekend's actually...
I'm going to guess the fixtures were set up to have a really good first weekend, if you know what I mean.
The only two games of note, really, this weekend are Australia, Fiji and England, Japan. Which will both be cool. But then other than that...
France playing, like, Uruguay.
So we've got Thursday night, France-Uruguay. Friday night, New Zealand-Namibia. France-Uruguay could be 100, you know, as well.
You've not seen Uruguay. They could come out the traps. They're fresh. France, really.
Be as fresh as you want against Bond. I think we're going to see 100 this weekend. Island-Tonga. Island-Tonga will be good to watch. Because Tonga are always good to watch.
They've managed to bring in some sort of better players,
I don't see
more star names.
I don't see much jeopardy in it, really. Wales, Portugal, no. Samoa, Chile's a bit of a nothing game. Really.
I hope there's some jeopardy in it, but you're right, probably not.
South Africa, Romania, that's 100.
You love 100.
I don't want to see it, but obviously it would be interesting. So
is England the last game of the weekend?
It is, 8 o'clock, Sunday night. Which is good. I'm looking forward to it. Mate, should we do a few awards for the week before we finish?
Yeah, let's fire one. Just to finish.
Let's go in... What do you want to start with?
Player of the week.
Player of the week.
Who was my player of the week?
I mean, George Ford. Mine's George Ford.
George Ford's an easy out. I'll try and think of an alternative to George Ford.
What games did we have?
Peter Stefanowicz, seeing him back, that was good. Gregory Aldrett.
Yeah, Aldrett was good. A
couple of honourable mentions. It's hard to think of anyone.
Donaldson for Australia, I thought was very good.
Bundy Aki.
Manny Lebok.
There's not as much on it for Ireland, but Aki was good. But I guess Aki against that sort of team is always just going to be a complete bulldozer, isn't he?
Yeah. A reluctant shout, Dan Bigger.
Nah, put him in the bin.
Yeah, get in the bin.
Obviously.
No, not in that game.
Dan Cole?
No.
Jamie George?
More likely.
Courtney Laws?
Ben Earl. I think it's probably got
Monsert.
It's got to be Ford. South Africa. I think it's got to be Ford. He's the only one that really...
He won the game on his own, didn't he?
Dominated the game, yeah. All right, George Ford, congratulations.
Rugby's a team game, unless it's England.
Player of the week for week one. Congratulations. Now this one...
Michael will be proud.
This one, we haven't really quite got a name for just yet. Are we just going to do the biggest dickhead of the week?
The anti-All Black Award.
So the All Blacks have a no dickhead policy. So let's call this the anti-All Blacks Award. Which can be won by an All Black. That's okay.
They could do.
Who was the biggest anti-All Black of the week?
I feel like there's always certain players who are going to be in for this. I feel like Sexton and Bigger will always be on the shortlist.
Matt Carlin.
Matt Carlin.
My vote would... I don't know why he annoys me so much. My vote would probably be bigger.
Yeah. But it's not a bad award to win. Because it's just the way it is.
And also, it was mostly to his own team this week. That was so
there
funny.
Was a couple
at the end
of,
the end of this first half, mate.
Get out George the fucking Ford. Bench.
Should we give it? Should we give it Biggs?
Let's just give it Biggs. Give it I Biggs? Think you'll love it. You'll want
or
it.
Should we give it? Actually, I've got a different shot.
There was a moment where Johnny Mayer just held onto the ball and turned over a penalty, which was pretty shit.
Can we give it Sexton for just being an absolute nause against Romania?
Yeah.
And like taking like a hard crash ball to score a second try against Romania.
And then jogging and then getting tackled and then being angry that the guy
tried to tackle you.
I did think.
Bigger. Sorry, mate. You're fine. Sexton, you're a nause.
I feel like we could just call it the Bigger / Sexton Award, because I feel like every week it's going to be
it's
one of them.
It's probably going to be one of them. All right, so it goes to Johnny. Try of the week. For me, it's probably...
Fiji second.
With an honourable mention to South Africa second for the cross kick.
But it's and Capos, I think, as well.
Yeah, that was nice, but again, it's like you look at the opposition. And
no,
the
yeah, Fiji.
Fiji second. Just
congratulations.
Absolutely.
Or Romania's... Just because it's Romania.
Yeah, I mean, that was quite nice. Chile's first try was excellent.
Yeah.
That was actually really good.
I think, sadly, it's not their time.
Which was scored by, we should actually, give him a shout. I mean, it was set up, really, by Naya Thalevu, but it was scored by Tagi Tagivalu. So well done, that man.
Congratulations, son.
Steve's delighted that I'm in charge of the Fijian names. Tackle of the week we've got on the list.
Josh Adams, probably.
Oh, that was tasty, wasn't it? Manu's was massive as well. Josh Adams, a good shout, though, because that was quite a big moment in the game as well. Where, Fiji had a bit of momentum.
There's a great clip where it showed where Josh Adams went to help that guy up earlier and he just pied him.
I haven't seen that.
And then bang!
He's a bit of an anti-All Black as well at times. I like him, but...
I mean, that's the only way Wales can be successful is that anti-All Black, us against them sort of mentality.
Josh Adams, though, that was a shot, that was. Honourable mention to Manu, but that was a hell of a shot. And then, we're going to end on a positive, and this is not an ironic one. We're going to do Referee of the Week.
Who's yours, Tom? Is it your mate?
Mine is going to be Jaco Piper. I thought he was actually excellent.
I thought he had an excellent first game. Yeah. I think he set out the standards for this World Cup.
Yeah.
And I think he was probably the standout for me as well. I thought, who had the England game? Matthew Rennell did okay in that game as well.
Yeah, he did fine. Yeah.
But Jaco was probably the standout because of the pressure, the game.
Big game.
I don't think he got much wrong at all.
Also called them for running early off the kickoff, which I'm a huge fan of. That means no one will ever do that again for the rest of the World Cup. So, yeah, Jaco Piper,
anyone who takes no bullshit like that is straight into the team.
Yeah. And to you, Matthew Carley, what I would say is there's always next week.
That would be a beautiful redemption story.
It would.
It would
be quite the arc. It would be quite the arc. Mate, what a shout. We're an hour and 20 in now.
That's a perfect time to finish.
Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Phenomenal. Right, let's wrap it up then. That does us for episode 30 of Not Another Rugby Podcast, brought to you by Right.co.uk and Altius Images.
We'll see you in 6 months.
We're hoping, as it's the World Cup, we actually will be back next week. But who knows with us, to be honest, who knows? As always, you can find us on Twitter at @RuckRugby, Instagram at @Right.co.uk, and you can search @RuckRugby to find us on TikTok and Facebook. You can visit our website, Right.co.uk, for all the latest rugby news and features. And links to all of those channels and our website can be found in the episode description down below. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to, rate and share the podcast. Enjoy another weekend of World Cup Rugby, and we will see you next week.